Pastor Brendan Johnson is with me here in the studio. Brendan is a regular on the radio via the Sunday morning services, that messages that are recorded bi-weekly. So anyway, thank you so much, Brendan, for being in here on a Friday morning, not a Sunday morning.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I invited you in because I wanted to talk about something that's very, it seems very apropos, relevant to this particular time of year. But first, let's just give a quick backstory. You didn't grow up in Two Harbors. How long have you been here, and how have you found life in Two Harbors in general, and also with Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where you are the pastor?
Well, I grew up in the Stillwater area, graduated there 2001, moved to Two Harbors in 2015, which I am occasionally reminded still makes me the new Lutheran pastor, because even though there's a Pastor Ben Stewart,
wonderful, he's newer than you are.
Well, the thing is, I was once asked if I was the new Lutheran pastor, and I'm like, wait a minute, Bethlehem has a history of pastors lasting more than 20 years. And in fact, they did mean that my 8 years still makes me the new pastor.
So. Okay. In typical Lutheran fashion.
No, not typical. Bethlehem has been blessed by wonderful pastors who've been able to serve far longer stretches than is typical. So for that, I and the whole congregation say thanks be to God, and it's just a blessing. I and my family have enjoyed Two Harbors very much. One of the unique things for me personally, while academically I thrived with the five-day school week, the fact that in the rhythm of a pastor's week, because we're working on Sundays, I've been able to spend my Fridays with my boys, which is a delight. And so that's one of the gifts of the community.
That is a special gift of Two Harbors. And it's so nice to hear about it in a specific way like that. All right. Well, we're here to talk about the Advent season and just mental health issues. We hear so much these days about loneliness and other depression, anxiety, so many things that are often accentuated during December, and just the fact that at other times of the year, and maybe especially this time or especially not this time, you know, churches are often one of their most steadfast communities that act as an antidote to mental health things, but for other people, not at all. But since we hear so much about mental health and so many pleas to get help and find what you need, I thought it'd be really nice to just bring in here someone who has a lot of experience helping some people find what they need at this time of year. What do you want to say, Brendan, about this particular time of year and the struggles that so many have during it?
I guess just to begin on a bit of good news is that we are basically past the longest night of the year, which means that there's only more sunshine up ahead, for which I say thank goodness.
Yes, absolutely.
So first we've got that bit of good news. And it just seems to me like at year's end, when the days are shorter, and of course, every time I'm in the grocery store, I'm hearing the wonderful pop Christmas songs that all have this truly sugar-coated picture of what Christmas could or should feel like. I don't think there's a person out there who doesn't see a gap between what Christmas feels like to them this month. I know so many people running crazy, whether it is the parents of young kids or maybe not running crazy, but I know so many of the older members of our community. You guys are missing so many people, and my heart goes out to you because you've been blessed with wonderful people. And I feel like coming to this time of year brings to mind all of the prior years. Like my family has had this long tradition of going to the Christmas Carol. When I was growing up, either my parents or my grandparents would take us to the Guthrie to see the Christmas Carol. And, you know, it's the same story every year, but it hits different.
Right. And it becomes a longstanding tradition that feels foundational.
It is. But that also speaks to another side to it, because sometimes for the sake of health or growth or just life, we need to cut ties with some of those traditions that we grew up with, whether it's a family that we needed to say, I'm sorry, in order to be the healthy person that God wants me to be, I need to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. I love you, but I can't do this. Or we lose people and it feels like there's a change in tradition. So there's a gap between what we think we're supposed to have this time of year and what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's even just financial. We want to be able to have the...
Give.
Have that
gifts
movie...
Gifts to people we love.
Like have that movie Christmas Morning where there are gifts everywhere. But, you know, just going back to the Christmas Carol, I loved how at the very end of that, we've got Scrooge literally giving away a paperweight, which, of course, has no financial value, and yet it meant all the world. Because here we have this old crotchety guy finally opening up to his estranged nephew. And it's that vulnerability. And
yes.
It takes courageous vulnerability. I mean, it's just speaking as a guy and in the world of ministry, I know very well the needs to be open and real with people. But still, there are so many things in culture telling guys to stay closed up, locked in, and I think we can say collectively as men that we've been lonelier these last 10 years than we've probably ever been in history. This isn't serving us well. So, you know, courageous vulnerability is kind of necessary.
Hmm. So that's leading you on a track of sort of your inner path and the path of perhaps others. And at the same time, I think you're so right. We have this idea of joy and light and praise and blessing and giving and family, and yet many people are experiencing exactly the opposite. And I think you have spoken before about how, you know, collectively we are generally pretty unconnected despite all our means of connecting with each other on the internet and elsewise, and holidays can kind of accentuate that. Is that something that you see personally amongst your congregants? Perhaps that's a hard question to answer.
It is a hard question to answer, but what I'll say is that feels very real and that hits home.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I wanted to come here and just bring in is that one of the, I think, unexpected gifts in this Christmas season is that not only is there a gap between the sugar-coated picture of Christmas that the pop songs are giving us and reality, but there's an enormous gap between those pop songs and the simple story of Christmas, because at the end of the day, all of this energy, all of this focus, all of this emotion is building up around this simple story. And it is just a simple story
mm-hmm.
of a God who decided that God was going to become every bit as human as you, that God was going to have blood flowing through his veins, never had blood before, never had a heart before. I mean, literally, not symbolically, because God is love. But also, this is a God who consented to going through growing pains, a God who decided to experience life among us as one of us. When Mary found out that she was going to be asked to bear the Christ child, her reaction is just this simple act of faith. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me according to your word. It's this wonderful picture of the simple, powerful faith that changed everything. Then Joseph comes into this story, this man who literally says nothing in the whole biblical narrative. And yet Joseph's whole legacy is one of mercy. He had the opportunity in that society to be as vengeful and angry as imaginable, because in the eyes of the community, for a while in his own eyes, he was wronged. His answer was mercy.
The Christmas story is full. I have found this too, of just absolute humanity. And, you know, it's not sugar-coated, as you say, at all. There's betrayal. There's violence. There's so much sort of, this is not how I expected things to be. And that too can be part of our experience of sort of deepening our awareness or of our faith in the month of December, maybe.
And that's true. But also what gives Christmas its power is the fact that, yes, the darkness is there, but the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Or as it says elsewhere in First Thessalonians, and this is not one of the classic Christmas texts, But it speaks to the occasion really well, because Paul is talking to people going through a lot. And he says, even in all of that, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Don't quench the spirit. Hold fast to what's good.
And do you think, Brennan, this is a message that is penetrating? Does this message penetrate in December? I mean, I feel like there are times when it does come through, and it is a very special time of year for Christians and non-Christians alike. It just is. I know the solstice is a huge point that merges with the season, and I don't know, it just seems pretty universal to me.
I agree. What I would say is that people are hungry. I think that we're living in a time where our devices and our media are in effect challenging us to be as fully human in the best sense of the word as possible. Because if I let down my guard, I could waste my days away on my device. And yet I'm invited by God to put the thing down and to pay attention to the God who's present in my neighbor. I'm invited to put down the news reports telling me that the world is going to hell, and instead look around and notice that God is active, that the God who was on a mission when Christ came into the world is still on that same mission, and that it's going to ask something of me to focus, to practice discipleship, to read, to pray, to worship, to do the things that help make me more fully human, because ultimately that's what I see Christ doing. Christ came to the world to meet humanity where we were and say, okay, God's not done with you. Now I'm going to show you what it means to be fully human the way that God intended. And then he pulls together this community of disciples to live out the kingdom of God here in this world.
I'm speaking with Brendan Johnson, the pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church, here on this Friday morning, December 22nd, right as things are quieting down in the world and heading toward intensely family time of Christmas. And we're talking about deepening one's human experience, really, in this season. We're running out of time, Brendan. Is there any other thoughts you want to share with us?
To me, one of the gifts of the practices of Advent and the gifts of the practices of Christmas are that there are so many from all around the world, so many sides of the church. Whether you're diving deeper into our own personal traditions, discovering them for the first time, or discovering them from elsewhere, there is so much to be gained in it that help us grow deeper, that help us connect. Like some people have planted narcissus bulbs in glass vases to watch the roots grow during Advent, and then the flowers bloom when you get to Christmas as this reminder to keep growing. Lighting Advent candles. I personally this year had fun literally drawing this adult coloring project as a way of reflecting on the Christmas narrative. I mean, when I sat down to it, I wasn't expecting that much, but it really helped me stop and slow down and connect. I also love diving into the Christmas carols themselves. One of my mentors growing up talked about a season in her life when she couldn't sing at all, and so she had to really focus on words. And like, I mean, just it's easy to skip over the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, but then there is that wonderful verse, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. Or the other one, in the bleak midwinter, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But poor as I am, what can I give him? Give my heart. But then again, just coming back to the beginning, this is a God who did this desperate act of vulnerability to connect with everyone. And in this season, one of the best answers that we can give is to be equally vulnerable with God, equally vulnerable with others. Knock down the walls that we've built with one another. Take the risk. Reach out. That is the only way that we can truly overcome loneliness, because at the end of the day, vulnerability, that is the beginning of every relationship that truly matters.
Thank you. This is Brennan Johnson, and we are getting one pastor's perspective on this particular time of year. Thank you so much, Brendan, for being with us. We will have you again, I'm sure.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. That was Brendan Johnson.